from the creators of The Shape. CCC Entertainment Group presents a nostalgic fan film series. Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, Fred Krueger, and many other iconic horror icons from the 80s and 90s converge in a universe we've all been waiting for. The Horrorverse, Season 1. Available now on YouTube. Awaken the darkness.
Welcome to Around the Reel with your hosts Aaron Carlson, Charles Lawson, and Samantha Hanna. Ah, shit. Here we go again.
We got some in the neighborhood, which was great, so we hit the main road, and so I drove all the way to where the car dealership place is. I was looking for the Emmy.
And it's dark out there, huh?
It's all dark out there.
It's dark as shit.
But we got there, and then Ryan got excited, and I'm so focused, and we're driving all the way back, and I get back to the house and stuff, and I jump out of the truck, and I start talking to everybody, and I realize, oh my God, I'm going to throw up.
No.
And I was like, I'm so sorry, and I walked away, and I got away from everybody, and I started freezing, and I was just like, okay, I'm okay. And I'm okay. And then that's when I can't remember if Ryan or somebody said something, and it was like, oh,
yeah.
Somebody said something, and I was like, yeah, I think Ryan's right. I do have a concussion, because as we were doing stuff, I asked Ryan, I was like, walk with me. I was like, why? He's like, why? I was like, because I can't pay attention to what I'm doing.
Yeah, he was
so fucked up. I'm not focused on what I'm doing.
That is so bad.
No, he killed himself.
And he was like,
gave himself a concussion yesterday, guys.
Sorry to interject. Can you hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you. We were just finishing our own conversation.
Yeah, man.
We were talking about our shoot last night. The last part of The Shape that we were filming, and Chuck decided to give himself a concussion.
Yeah.
Yesterday, just before everybody started showing up, I had a crew call at 7:30 to 8, and so I'm running around doing all my pre-stuff that I do. So I run all the wires, all the lines, all the stuff everywhere that needs to go. And
I
tripped over a fucking sprinkler head. In attempting to catch myself, I twisted my ankle, fell backwards, hit the back of my head on the asphalt. And then as I was continuing to work afterwards, mm-hmm. I got stung by two fucking bees.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is prior to anybody even getting there. This is just you by yourself outside.
And everybody shows up and like, Chuck, what's wrong? And I'm like, it's been a hard hour.
It's been a hard hour.
So we ended up filming last night with a twisted ankle, two bee stings, and a mild concussion.
Yeah, I believe we did have a concussion.
Still going on today because I feel like my head's in a vice. Or as, if you guys understand the reference, I feel like Glenn after he met Lucille.
So that was last night.
Let's see what we can do today.
We're talking about, tell them what you're talking about, because I don't think they can.
Oh, so the Glenn when he met Lucille, that's a reference to The Walking Dead.
Yeah, Walking Dead. Yeah.
When Negan first appears with a bat and
yeah. hits.
Knocks Glenn so hard his eye pops out of his head.
And Chuck's,
my eyes are still in my head.
Yeah, you put it back really well.
Yeah.
Because when I first got there last night, it was sticking out pretty hard. It looked really weird.
Oh, my God.
Weirder than normal.
Yeah. I'm digging your guys' poster behind you.
I love that.
That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, man. Hey, guys.
That film never got produced.
Really?
So, they produced it. It never got distribution.
That's too bad.
Oh, wow.
It looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Is that
a lot of Uli's films? Because Uli did the original Boogeyman film. Uli Noel. Right. And we worked with him.
Oh,
and
no shit.
So I worked on this as an editor. I was, I believe, the third or fourth editor involved. And it just, he didn't get a lot of deals towards the end of his career because it was marred by the serial killer movies he did for Lionsgate.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
And a lot of it was just kind of cringe, but like the guy was freaking magical, like nobody I've ever met before.
Is that the
original Boogeyman director from the 80s, or is that the one redid? Oh my God, man, I remember. That movie scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. Fuck that movie.
You were such a pussy.
I was a pussy. I didn't fucking play. I'm badass now, but back then I grew from a pussy to like a big ball
vagina.
No, well, yeah.
A big vagina.
Yeah, I mean, I got waves, you know, now. but they're small. Yeah, like Sam's got them. I ask him for them from time to time. I use them once in a while. It's pretty cool when
he's
I get them back.
He's got Wavels. So yeah, so that he's got some eggs that he keeps in the fridge and Sam makes omelets out of them whenever he smells off.
Yeah, I never knew that. Oh, we're talking, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Around the Reel.
Welcome to Around the Reel.
Welcome to Around the Reel.
We're talking about the Boogeyman poster they have behind them, and when this is on YouTube, you guys will all see it. But yeah, that's a great old movie, man. I forgot about how fucking weird and scary that was. That was creepy shit. You work with the guy.
Yeah, I was his assistant director, and Michael was his editor and stars in some of his latest projects, but they never have been got distribution. So
that's yeah, too bad.
He actually got basically they honored him at the Berlinale.
Okay.
So wow. he passed away in 2017, December of 2017, and then the Berlinale like was February 2018. And they showed the last movie that we actually produced with them. It's called America, Land of the Freaks.
Yeah, that's a proper title.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we are freaks around here.
You ain't kidding. Oh, man, that's great stuff, guys. All right, well.
Yeah, that's interesting. So can you guys introduce yourselves to those who might be listening?
Yeah, our tribe.
Yeah. We'll start? Yeah, thanks. I'm Peter Kondra. Don't speak English so good. So you're good, man.
That's okay. Doing great.
I also worked with Ulim as his latest assistant director.
Okay.
And also other German television projects and some even American productions here in Germany, in Berlin.
Okay.
And I studied history and archaeology, but I went doing movies.
Badass, buddy. Yeah. All right. Wait, look at that. Well, okay, understood every word you said.
I understood everything.
Talking about you can't speak English. You should hear my German. Jesus. Not good.
I think the only thing you can do is swear, right?
I don't even know.
I can only count to like three.
only German I know is because I watched Raiders of the Lost Ark.
You guys want to learn some German?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, what do you got?
Fick dich.
Fick dich?
Oh, no.
Why
what does that mean?
Why are you teaching everybody how to swear?
Yeah, he put his head down.
It's kind of like F you.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, no. Oh, please, say it one more time.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're gonna get flagged, and like you're no. You know, the video.
I don't give a fuck. No. Let's do it.
This is an explicit show.
Yeah,
we
can say
it. It's you.
Yeah, okay. I know, but say it again so we can get it.
Victish.
Victish. Now, Victish. You should say it all together.
Let the German say it so it sounds right.
Yeah, let's hear. Wait, we have to hear him say it.
You should start with I love you. Ich liebe dich.
That's sweet.
We want the dirty stuff.
I
want
to say, hey, Chuck, Victus.
And I'll just look at you since we're talking in English and say, I love you too.
Oh, that's the wrong one.
But you're supposed to say it in German, though.
Oh. You know how we say that in English? Fuck you.
That's
cool.
That's not English. That's Scarface.
Oh, sorry.
Wait, that's how we say I love you? Oh, yeah, it is how we say I love you.
That's how Sam and I say it, yeah. Yeah, fuck you. Fuck you, too. All right, have a good day. See you later, honey.
Fuck you.
All right, so, Peter, thank you for introducing yourself. All right, who else do we got here? Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Michael Shallock. That's my God-given name. Grew up in Texas. So I'm from Austin, Texas, originally.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you're a Texican.
I'm a Texican.
Texican?
Yeah.
I get that a lot, but my mom's actually Moroccan, and my dad's German.
Great.
But I end up looking pretty Mexican-ish.
You insulted another race. Thanks, there.
Oh, no, I learned that from Kenny, Sam's cousin.
Oh, yeah, my cousin.
He's from Texas. And we always call him a Texican.
Yeah, because he is a Texican, because he is Mexican.
Oh, shit, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, so you just, he is.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you can just call me the N-word anytime you want. We'll make it.
Make the show racial.
Totally fine. Yeah.
Aaron makes everything racial.
Not all the time. I think it's cool. All right.
Anyway, okay. Anyway, Michael, sorry.
Michael,
finish, please.
Thanks.
That was it.
That was it. Okay.
Oh, man.
You guys are fun.
I love it.
Is this a job interview?
I know, yeah. No. No, you guys are keeping up with us pretty good.
We make an independent movie called Good Old Friends together.
Right on.
And that's right. We forgot to mention that.
Yeah, we made up. We went at a Vince Vaughn movie, which was produced in Berlin. It's called Business Trip, I think.
They changed the name.
Okay.
It was with Dave Franco.
Yeah.
I think I know the movie you're talking about. Yeah.
And Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And there we met and we were extras on the set. And we met there and we come up with different short movie ideas. And so we came up, became friends and. A few years later, we made our first independent movie by our own called In Good Old Friends. You can watch it on Tubi, Amazon Prime, and
it's pretty rad, man.
I can't wait to see it.
Pretty rad movie.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've been busy as shit right now, trying to knock out everything we're doing and life changes and all kinds of stuff. So I didn't get a chance to see it either, but did watch the trailer and I think it's fucking fantastic looking. It looks great, guys. You guys did wonderful.
We honestly
appreciate that so much. Yes,
we can't wait. We can't wait to watch it. We didn't get a chance before our interview, which sucks, but we can't wait. Can't wait to watch it.
But what you guys are gonna do? You guys are gonna get us more excited about the whole thing. That's what I want.
Please get us more excited.
Which the trailer did a great job. I'm already super excited.
Exactly. Are you acting of us?
We are asking nothing and everything subconsciously at the same time.
They want to see it.
So, how long ago did you guys hook up? How long ago was that when you guys started to do this stuff?
Okay, that was when was 2017?
Yeah.
Okay.
2017.
Yeah.
No, it was before that.
No.
You mean with the film
stuff? Filming was 2017.
Yeah, it sounds like
he doesn't remember our anniversary.
That's messed up.
You're good. Okay. So you guys hooked up, and then you guys start talking, and you end up going, hey, let's make a movie. All right. And that's when this good friends thing
came. It took a while. It was a getting to know you process.
Yeah.
And then we met Uli, and we went to Brazil with him and we shot a film called The Queen of Rio. We both star in that as well.
Wow.
But we made that movie in 5 days. And that was kind of gave us the belief that we could replicate that.
Yeah, man.
And it only took us 4 years. But you know, just in principle, like the 5 days idea was like, just don't second guess yourself too much. Just go for it.
Yeah,
that's kind of great advice. Yeah.
You're absolutely fucking right.
You are right. So you started out. So when you guys met, you were actors. Both of you actors.
Well, we started as extras, but in some kinds, we are not trained actors, but we used to play in different smaller projects, and
we're not classically trained actors.
Classically trained anything, so.
No, I had one time somebody tried to train me, but I just couldn't take the shock collar. I had to get the fucking thing off and get out of there. So did you guys go on set to be extras just to experience what it's like to be on set as filmmakers more than as being actors?
Me as filmmaker.
Okay.
I always watch every step they took on set, how they managed to be creative at some kind of level. Especially, I always was focused on the director, and I learned a lot.
Yes.
Being on set is a really different experience, and you always gonna learn when you're on set.
Absolutely, that's a great way.
And also you have to watch a lot of movies.
Fuck yeah!
Learn their techniques and a bit like always Tarantino says, you have to watch movies to get the creative view and the spirit of it.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. It's easy to pick up if you're looking for it, if you've got that interest. I totally agree. I'm able to watch movies and I pick up on things all the time. I watch them differently than I think a mm-hmm. lot of people do. And and that's kind of like, it's almost like research, you know, like you're going to school every time you watch a movie. I totally agree. Absolutely.
But right, on going on set too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you said, he being an extra is actually a fantastic way to go to film school because you see so much and you're actually on the set. So that's actually brilliant way to get some information and learn some stuff.
Fuck yeah. Especially if you're inspiring to do something more, you know, like a lot of people go and be an extra and be happy they're just an extra. But if you want to learn about filmmaking and be a filmmaker, you're on set now. Now you can do, you're like a spy. You know what I mean?
Kind of,
you're like sneaking around. Yeah. You're like Snake Plissken sneaking around the
fucking
place.
Isn't there enough controversy
cool
in our planet? You really want to spread the fact that, oh, these guys are spying on all your shit.
Yeah. Well, that's what you got to do. You know,
they're learning
you learn.
From
yeah,
them.
Yeah. You're just there's a fly on the wall.
I know that.
You're
just
a fly.
Talking about everybody else.
Fly on the wall. I love it. I love it.
No,
Peter.
That's
great,
that's
man.
Good.
That's great. Well, how about you, Michael? When you went and you were an extra back in the day and you're going and doing that stuff, did you have that same mentality or were you more focused on just, hey, I want to be a part of this kind of stuff?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, everybody. Let's talk about Buzzsprout, our podcast host. You know, when we started our show, we wanted a platform to share our voice in this industry and have some fucking fun. With Buzzsprout and their team being passionate about helping you succeed, you're in good hands. You'll get a great-looking podcast website, audio players that you can drop into other websites, detailed analytics to see how people are listening, tools to promote your episodes, and so much more.
Following the link in the show notes lets Buzzsprout know we sent you. Gets you a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for the paid plan and help support our show. So join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's create something great. Join together, people.
So my pronoun is not extra.
Okay.
It's he, she, and they, and will, and is. But
mine's can,
so
willing,
what
and
I'm
able.
Trying to say is I never identified as an extra. Maybe I was for a second there.
I showed up to work and they stuck me as an extra.
Oh, I gotta love our family show. It's great.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful.
The
I love
pay,
it.
The pay was mediocre.
Okay.
And with the inflation now, it's not worth it.
It's just not worth it.
So what? Yeah. So what had you there? Yeah. What made you go there?
Yeah. Why the fuck did you do it?
I was broke.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Like,
great answer.
Like that was good money to me.
I hear you.
That was good money.
I feel it.
And I did it like two or three times, I want to say. And then after that, I was like, ah. Mm-hmm. But it was cool. We met and we stuck together.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And we made a pretty cool little movie that actually feels kind of hyper realistic. Mm-hmm. We are non-trained actors, somewhat playing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an easy trick for non-classical trained actors to just kind of borrow from their own personality and just whatever. I'm kind of me, but I have a different name. We even have the same names. Like we went as far to keep our names the same.
That's even
not really to cause any confusion.
That's cool.
I love
as an actor, I'd have a hard time pulling this off. I mean, I don't know if I could be me on screen because you know it's a hard thing to pull off. It's just like such a
you're a little all over the place sometimes.
I quit acting because I couldn't
be
me.
Yeah. It's a little weird.
Yeah,
that's kind of weird.
Everything about my acting is pretty much everything I love and the persona I always wanted to be. That's pretty much.
So
all
this, he typecast himself 30 years ago
as the hero.
Yeah, a hero or a badass villain. You know, just if it's badass, I want to do it. You know what I mean? I just want to be that fucking cool guy that everybody's like, oh wow.
The only problem with that is if he writes something badass, he won't let somebody else do it.
No, I want to do it. No, I'm jealous of that. Yeah, fuck that. I hate it. Like, if Raymond Power was the lead in our movie, I'm going to be pissed. I'm gonna be like, fuck. You know what I mean?
Aaron's going to do a rewrite. Nope, he's dead.
Yes, I want to do it. Yeah, we'll change the script up. Okay. So you guys go in together, and where did this initialize? I mean, where'd the idea come from to get good old friends started?
He had the idea.
All right.
Okay.
For those of you who can't see, because this is a podcast, Mike is pointing at Peter.
Okay.
And for all of you who are now watching it on YouTube, fuck off. I'm doing a job here.
So Peter,
Sophie,
what's up? How'd you come up with the idea?
Well, it was my idea. I come to the conclusion after my studies, most of my fellow friends went into different kinds of lives, and we didn't came together as we once did. Okay. And it's all about friendship. It's about three guys. They came together after 5 years of separation. And they want to party in Berlin because Berlin is a party city. And everything went totally wrong because a single prank went totally into a tragedy. And
may I say something?
Yeah.
This film is not for the faint of heart.
Oh, okay.
So I would say like maybe 16 is an appropriate age.
Okay.
Really? Okay. So what makes you say that? Is it cussing? Is it vulgar? What,
yes.
I mean, what?
Yes.
Yes. All of it. Yes, all of it. Okay.
We all raised children. They're already fucked up.
Now we really want to see it because we love that show.
Yeah. It's not overly vulgar, but okay. The F-bomb.
Oh,
yeah, okay. We've got an F-bomb issue.
So my favorite
we use a language used to use, and that's...
I said at the least. I've done a tally.
Yeah,
the three guys. I've done it by far the least.
Well, if you've ever listened to our show, you know that we're not afraid of that word.
Yeah, and if you watch the movie We Made the Outrider, F-bombs really are my thing, so yeah. I don't give a shit. All right, let me rephrase that. I don't give a fuck. How about that?
So they're partying together, taking a lot of drugs, and then
liquid DMT.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's a thing, but we made
different.
I don't know if it's a thing either. But...
Okay.
Different right. kinds of drugs is basically one of them is killed by accident, and both of the other friends have to.
Oh, don't give away spoiler alert! Are you saying too much? Don't give it away.
Why?
That's don't okay. Give it away. Aaron's over there. Aaron realizes if it was my story, I would have killed him.
Yeah. Okay. So,
I just did actually in the last movie we made.
So
spoiler alert, Jesus.
So for people who haven't watched it, what's the feel of the movie genre wise? Where do you guys kind of place it? Is it a comedy? Is it a dark comedy?
It's a dark comedy.
Okay.
I love it.
Kind of a thriller a bit of a drama.
Okay.
But it doesn't take it's too serious. So it's a bit a mix of fiction and reality. Such a situation could happen to any one of us on a party.
Like a freak accident.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's these group of guys. That lost touch and got back together, and then everything goes wrong, basically.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
They made a lot of movies like that back in the 90s, if you guys remember.
Yeah.
You know, like.
But I love the feel of the 90s movies.
I know. It's like, I can't think of anything. I don't know why swimming with sharks is going to my head, but that doesn't really count. That's not the same thing.
That's not the same one, but.
But you know what I mean?
Like, there's a specific movie that you're probably thinking.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them, and there was a body. I remember there was a body, and they got to hide the body and all kinds of shit.
What'd you say?
Very bad things.
Yeah. Very bad things. Yes, that's exactly it, buddy. That's the one I was thinking of as soon as you started describing it.
Was that your type of? Was that your inspiration? Like that type of kind of movie?
Yeah, kind of. It was. The difference is in Very Bad Things. There is a murder on a stripper. I think, and it's not that personal as it happens to a friend.
Right. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's a different element.
Even when you separated so many years, you have a different feeling to a friend than to a stranger.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
And once again, you're giving too much away.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but
you're speaking good English, so I understand every word.
Yeah. Your English is great.
It's just a turning point of the story.
This is a turning point of the conversation. This is where we start speaking German and you guys all.
Well, we're actually rather big in Germany.
Are we?
Wir lieben euch.
Well, I didn't say I am, but they are.
Wir ficken euch.
Wait, what is it?
He's adding things. If Peter's hitting him, it's inappropriate. We know that.
Yeah.
I might not be able to understand the language, but I can read the people.
If it's inappropriate normally, then it's appropriate for us.
Yeah, right. What I love that you did describe is that, you know, you were pulling your story from like real life experiences, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's everybody kind of does that when they're writing a fictional story. We just did it in our Shape movies. You know, Chuck, you had a moment when you wrote Say Goodbye. Sam, your love for animals.
Oh, yeah.
All that. I don't know. Well, I guess I don't pull from it other than me wanting to be a badass when I write something. But anyway, point is, the real life experiences like can enhance, I think, the fiction so much. And I don't think we hear enough people who are writing stuff talk about that. Like, you know, if you're an up-and-coming writer, let's say you're new and you want to write something. You know, and you got, where do I start? And then they start making up all this shit, you know, which can work that way too. But right. I think the best stuff comes from when you know what you're writing.
Because you experience something
that you know for a fact that is going to be an integral part of that story. And then you can wrap the fiction kind of around it. I think that's beautiful. I love mm-hmm. that shit, man. Yeah. So who wrote it out of you guys? Pete, you did write. Okay, you were the writer too. Awesome, buddy. Okay. I only said that, Sam, because sometimes people have the story idea and someone else will write it for them. I don't know. But then Peter, okay, great. All right.
He wrote it in German. He actually wrote it in German and I translated it.
Did you? I was going to ask that, but I didn't want to be like offensive the way I was going to say it. I don't know. Did you write it in German or English? That's
what I was gonna say. I already called Michael a Texican, and I'm already fucked.
You're already rude.
But he's got one on me. He knows what color I am. He can say it anytime he wants, so he can get me right.
I can't say. Well, technically, my mother is Moroccan, so I'm sort of African American.
Yeah, okay, you're badass. Yeah, that's why we're driving.
Now you're jiving after you stopped insulting his heritage.
I didn't mean it. I was just thinking he's from Texas. I thought that was like what people say. Like, you know how they say it up here? Like you're Washingtonian?
No, they don't.
Because you're from Washington. Yeah, we're a Washingtonian. I thought that's what Texicans called themselves. Texicans.
I don't know.
You call
a white guy from Texas a Texican, and you'll probably get punched with a belt buckle in your face.
With an eagle on it?
Don't ask Penny.
Rattlesnake to the
crotch. Exactly.
And one quick kick to the balls and then a pelvic thrust to your face with a giant belt buckle.
Jesus Christ. That's fucking...
I better hope I have them in my purse.
I've thought about them a few times.
This shit's graphic.
There's nothing like a good pelvic thrust when you're picking somebody up off the ground.
Yeah, I know. I saw him do it
right,
twice.
Right, Kendra?
Yeah, he did it to our actress. It was funny. She was like, why does Chuck keep pulling me up to his balls? He did it.
Wait,
all
he asked, I mean, you were holding her down below.
That's a softball.
Oh, man.
Good one.
Are you bent all over? Or?
If you're pulling somebody up off the ground and you're tall.
And you're straddling over the top of them.
I'm not 5'2".
Mm-hmm.
But at 6'4", you pull somebody up off the ground and they just happen to have their head land at your crotch.
Right at your...
Yes, sorry. I got it. Okay. Back to good old friends.
Just, cool. Sam's just throwing shit on the
whole
floor.
Whole story, bro.
Did not mean to.
Okay, so you guys get in production on this. Was there a budget involved? If so, how did you get the budget to do the film? And... we'll go from there.
Hey, now Keith is pointing on Mike. What can I say? I financed the film.
Oh, you did. Okay. Oh, brother. Good for you, man. That's great.
Yeah. On your because you were that extra that time?
He made that extra.
All your times on set.
I bought some Bitcoin with that money back in 2013.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, no, but however, he doesn't have any credit cards left.
It sounded good. I mean,
he sleeps on his mom's couch.
Well,
my credit is shot.
No, that's awesome, buddy.
It was fine. I guess it's a no budget film. We kind of straddled that no budget to micro budget. I think we're right in that sweet spot.
And that's exactly
that.
What we did.
Yeah, that's what we do.
With our first one.
Yeah.
And I think that's
just
smart.
Just to prove you can do it without, you know, all the millions of dollars.
So. Yeah, yeah. A few thousand bucks, you can make a movie. You really can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. I mean, if you exclude the gear, if you've got the gear already, it's even cheaper.
Yeah.
Sometimes. You know, if you find the right actors and everybody's passionate about the project. I mean, that, it can work, especially for your first feature. So that's that's fantastic, man. Good for you guys.
Yeah,
seriously, that's dope.
It is, and it's more impressive. It makes it more impressive the less the budget is.
For me,
I always look at those that have the smaller time. The smaller the budget, I'm like, wow. I mean, if it's good, it really is like. It's cool.
Yeah.
And then because it shows you can do it.
You're putting on the stacks.
And all you end up thinking about is like, man, if they had money, I guess I'll see how good they could be. You know what I mean? If they had
that's how Aaron thinks.
I know, but for a fact it could be because you know all the people you can hire and all the extra stuff that you can get and the people that
but you don't need it to make a good movie.
No, you know, but when you're a jack all trades and master of none, you can do pretty good on everything. But if you get those exceptional people that you pay for to help you make it, it's even better.
I agree with that.
How much better of a performance would those actors have done if they actually got paid?
You know, that's a good point.
Ask yourself that because
that's a fucking good point.
Yeah, they've been exceptional, like amazing.
Yeah, you think they could do better if we paid them?
No.
Then they did.
I've seen some of the stuff they got paid to do. That just goes to show the talent of the directorial team.
Chuck got a concussion last night, so he might be saying things.
Excuse
little.
Him.
That's not true. If I said anything that offended anybody, I don't.
That was just slightly offensive to a lot of people.
Just most of the talent in the Northwest. My bad.
Super funny.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Actually, that being said, I have seen actors and actresses. I've seen their reels. I've seen all these things, and I'm like, God. And watching some of the things that they've done, I've been like, man, if they had the right director.
Yeah.
That could have been so much better. And then sometimes if you're dealing with a new director, if you're dealing with somebody who just doesn't know how to take the story that they wrote and make it come to life on the screen, and sometimes it's just as simple as that. But we've dealt with actors and actresses that it's just like, I want to work with them no matter what because I know how amazing they can be.
Right.
Let's see if we can pull it out of them.
Right.
Well, and being a director, I mean, that's the most critical part of the movie, and that's why they get paid the bigs. But good director matters. It really matters. And it matters how you're it will affect your actors, your set, your whether you're stressed out or not. I mean, it affects everything. So director's an important job.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody, last night. I was kind of a dick.
Yeah, but that's why you got a good AD, bro. But you've been there for me, too, when I was a dick. Yeah.
That's true.
So that's
every other day of the year for the last 30 years.
No, I mean, I'm talking about on set.
I've been his backup.
No, so what you guys are saying is it as important as a director is, it's even more important to have a team.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely it is. Yeah, it is. It is a team thing.
And that's what you guys are. And apparently a pretty good one.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a movie.
Yeah. Well, appreciate that. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. But the main work on the movie, we both did it. We switched cameras on sets, so every actor was also camera.
I love it.
Yeah, really. We really made it a kind of guerrilla style.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We didn't have any permits when we shot outside.
Oh, you stole?
Well, we never do either.
You stole some shots, bro.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That's what you got to do. Whatever. Yep, steal shots.
Yeah.
Yep. Like you said, guerrilla filmmaking. That's awesome.
I love
that.
Hey, can we use your church? No. Want to bet?
Yeah, yeah. That's what we did.
But even James Cameron on Terminator 1 had, in many cases, no permission to shoot.
I remember.
Oh yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people do it. Everyone does it, basically.
One time or another in your career, you're gonna do it.
He rented a hotel room, and out of that, got half the movie.
Yeah.
Well, and filmmakers are lucky nowadays because everyone's got their phone. Phones film really well, so you could easily steal shots.
Yeah, and you can go down with minimal sound gear, and no one would know. You got the road mics and all kinds of shit now that are wireless. No one would even fucking know what you're
it's
doing.
It's a hell of a lot easier now than it ever was.
Absolutely.
Everyone's got their phones and their phones out. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching something on Indie Film Hustle one time, and I was talking to the director who made... I can't remember. But they actually...
That's informative.
I know, but... Wasn't it that movie on
the subway?
No, it was the airport. It was the airport.
The airport.
Yes,
yeah.
And he really wanted to add a bigger production value to his little indie film. I think it was a $5,000 or less movie.
Right.
So he literally went to the airport with one of his actors and he had the camera just like right here in his chest and just filmed them walking through the terminal with all the people around.
Yeah,
and it just added more to the story, right? It made it feel bigger than it really was.
Right.
And it works because I watched the movie and I'm like, I would have
thought. Dude, you got an airport? How the fuck are you in the airport?
I thought for sure this movie was fucking had some money. No, he did $5,000 or I think a couple grand actually. So, I mean, it's doable if you do that stuff. Now, I don't recommend doing that because you can get in trouble. Yeah. Sometimes, but not really, though.
It's hard to get out of federal prison. It's easy to get picked up from county.
Well, that's the fines.
The point is, though, it can be done.
It can be done.
And you can make a great film with little... Mm.
Little or nothing.
Just a little bit of money.
No matter how much they're fighting you, don't turn off the camera, because worst case scenario, if you can't finish your film, you can make one shit great documentary.
Yeah,
you can. It is not
my experience
illegal.
Of trying not to get arrested at the airport.
Yep.
There are laws, and it is not illegal to film in public. At least not here. It's not.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, it's not illegal to film on public property. It's not. It's just, it's on people. When you got to worry about it, it's when you're on somebody's property.
Right.
That's, you get in trouble there. But most of the time, you can steal shots.
It's just embarrassing when they shut you down. You know, like,
you can get shut down. You got to listen. You need to leave. Cops come, you got to listen.
Yeah, and I'm black, so then someone's going to get shot.
Or you listen for the moment and then come back later when they're gone.
I know, I'm sorry. It's funny though. It's funny.
The funny thing is, I'd be the one who gets shot.
You probably would get shot.
I'd be the one who gets shot.
Yeah, you'd be the one.
He'd run his mouth and I'd get shot.
Oh, you take the bullet for me? Is that what
no, they just can't fucking aim. They're like stormtroopers.
Are you a stormtroopers?
Okay. One thing I wanted to really discuss with you guys is your distribution plan and how you got the film out there. And I know that you guys went through indie rights, and I'd like to hear about that. And I think a lot of our audience would, because the thing that most filmmakers that we have met and have worked with are still kind of deliriously dumb about.
They're not dumb.
They're just fucking uneducated.
Yes, no, uneducated.
There's so much about distribution.
I haven't read the thesaurus, Sam. You know what I'm saying. Over. Yeah, well, they don't understand they don't understand that process of it,
I guess. Foolishly ambiguous.
Yeah.
What do you want me? How do you want me to be really creative?
I do not like you calling anyone stupid.
I know you.
I'm sorry we use the S word. We're fucking sorry we use stupid, since that's your swear word, and fuck is like a fucking adjective.
If you're going to use an S word, use sorry.
So distribution, gentlemen.
Okay. How can we help educate more filmmakers out there have made a micro budget film? Get distribution, get somebody to back and get it out there on the platforms. What'd you guys do? That's better, Sam, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
All right, I'll take this one. So we got our deal with Indie Rights, and they have placed us on Tubi, Apple, the platforms you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody needs to do their due diligence. You need to go through the contract, obviously.
Yes.
You know, look at the length of the contract, like focus on that a little bit. Indie Rights put our film out there. Like, they put us on the map, so to speak.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now it's basically up to us to push, you know, do the marketing aspect.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to do that so much. They're going to show your trailer. They're going to, you know, give you like a sneak peek.
They still do more than some.
Mm-hmm.
Don't they?
I'm sorry?
They still do more than some do. We had Linda on here.
Yeah, she's great.
She is great. Yeah, yeah. So they do a little bit more than some people do.
I don't know if they do or not, Sam. That's the thing.
You don't know.
Yeah, no. Distributors.
Well,
distributors,
but don't they
weird.
Personally? Okay. Well,
no. I mean,
I got the feeling from her that she works really hard.
She does. Yeah.
They personally screen the films before they accept them, as opposed to like Hub that takes our film and does what they can with it. But
correct.
It's still self-distribution or still self-promoting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Fair enough. But still,
she's just more fun to talk to.
But there's nothing wrong with Indie Rights. Indie Rights is great, and they have a great reputation, and they have a great definitely a good one to go to.
Yeah.
And your guys' experience with them so far is.
Yeah, you definitely should choose Indie Rights. They're great.
Yeah.
If you have the possibility, just go ahead. And I wish every filmmaker has the choice to go to Indie Rights, because we're really lucky. And
they don't
take just anybody. Yeah. Exactly.
And explain a couple things. So as far as I know, Indie Rights doesn't charge anything up front for you to send in and get your movie to them. Is that correct? Upfront costs.
Oh, great. We just,
oh, no. Did he
now that we're talking about the whole upfront cuss, there goes Mike. Sorry, we're having technical issues.
So, okay. So let's say I'm a filmmaker, guys. Let's say I'm a filmmaker, and I wanna get my movie to Indie Rights. And they say, yeah, we'd love to see your film. How do you deliver that film, and what's the process?
I sent it from Germany, so there were probably some surcharges.
Okay.
We had to send a hard drive.
Okay.
And they put you through like a fairly rigorous process, you know, technical specs. They've got a checklist.
Oh, yeah.
You have to, you really have to look out for that, because if you make one mistake, they can ask you to send another drive.
And then,
and that's when the cards start stacking. Mm-hmm. Now, I had that unfortunate experience.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm a perfectionist, but I'm also human.
Yeah, you're
right,
human.
Right. So you learn from that, that they're very meticulous about their checklist.
Yes,
and
they are.
You have to have all these things. And Linda said that too.
Yeah, she did.
When she was on, she said definitely like she expects these certain things, and she lets you know up front. And if you send her something different than what she asked for,
they charge you.
Yeah,
like
they don't like to. You know, and they're bigger now, so they don't like to mess around with people that just don't pay attention and don't want to follow the directions.
They're being more selective.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, everyone makes mistakes. We're all human, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So how many hard drives did it cost you?
Yeah, no, I want to know.
But yeah, I mean, what are the upfront
costs?
Like, that's not – they do it – they essentially, indie films do it for free.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Like, the whole problem.
And they have
so there are no upfront costs. Like, no, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Like, that's just me going out and buying a hard drive and sending it, you know, priority mail.
Yeah.
Insured.
Right.
That's
all it is. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty awesome.
It is.
Yeah, it is awesome.
It really is. I ask you that, and I know the delivery process for Indie Rights. I was about to do that on Sam's documentary, and I backed off from it just because of how streamlined Film Hub is. So I went that route, since we're still going to be marketing our own film and pushing people to that platform that we get on. But I really wanted to work with Indie. And all of us agreed that's what we wanted to do. It was just the delivery process seemed a little archaic at this point where we were at. Not that it is, just that we needed to get it faster there. So,
well, maybe we're
and,
not ready for Indie Rights.
Well,
quite
yeah,
yet.
And that's another thing. I was still concerned with the QC process, you know, quality control. Film Hub, I could go and upload all the specs, get everything done. And if I make a mistake, I get an email, and then I just have to fix it and re-upload it. There is no cost, right? And then when I read on Indie Rights, you know, I gotta ship a hard drive. And then if I fuck that hard drive up and send it down there, and I wait weeks, and then I hear back from them, and they're like, oh, this is shit. You fucked up. Now you guys spend $250, send us another one. I'm like, God damn it. I didn't want to go through that process. And that was the only reason that I think we decided just to do Film Hub. But I want to work with Indie Rights. So now that we did well on QC on Film Hub for the first time, I'm way more confident. And I know what I'm doing to get everything and all our materials ready better. But I think that their contracts, from what I know, are great.
Fair
as fuck. Not convoluted. No. I think that the support that Indie Rights gives the indie filmmaker is more... individualized, where at least you could call her or her partner and you can have a conversation, and that's cool as fuck. That support is way better and probably worth more in the long run than what we're doing, I think. Go ahead, Sam.
Oh, I was just going to say, to be fair to Indie Rights, they put it all out there, what you need to. They give you the checklist and they tell you, we want all of this in line to get your
film out.
Yeah.
Yep.
So to be fair to them, they do put it all out there. And let you know what they expect from you.
Yeah.
But they don't mess around about it.
No. And if you're a slacker or not getting it done, then you ain't getting your movie.
Or if it's not what they asked for specifically, yeah.
Yeah,
and like she said, I mean, the contracts are no longer four pages like they were for years.
Yeah.
But they're also still not overwritten, which is nice, because there's a lot of contracts with distribution companies where you don't realize what you really did sign away.
Yeah, and you're not giving up your film rights for 10 years like a lot of these other fucking places.
And you have to think,
beautiful.
Too, that there's only so many of them there. I mean, they keep it small, but they keep it like a tight family, and that's also a good thing. But it also makes it, you know, they have to vet people, and they have to weed out all the...
Yeah.
you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a process.
Weird stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And it's always going to be a
process. And if your weird stuff can make it through and they're interested in our weird stuff, really, how much vetting is going on?
Weird is the wrong word. I mean, like, you know, like messed up. Like, just like,
yeah.
Like, we can't show that to the people.
I wonder how many pornos they get.
I wonder.
I am dying to know. That's my biggest question.
I wonder if people are that fucking stupid. Yeah. People do that.
Wow. It would not surprise me if people did that.
I know.
At all.
It wouldn't surprise me either.
Nothing surprises me about people.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Kindness. Kindness fucking surprises me now about people. Isn't that weird?
It's sad, yeah, but anyway.
So how long did the process take to get your film up to the distributor where it's clear and then they go? How long did that process take?
I mean, a few months, right?
Yeah.
Really? Is that quick?
Really fast.
Oh, good. Oh, that's really good. Yeah.
That's awesome.
You guys smoked it. That's great.
Yeah, that's cool.
So once you cleared QC and you got selected to a streaming platform, how long from that point until it was actually active and live on the streaming platform?
A week.
And that's the advantage of
week,
me, right?
Weeks. Yeah,
like 2 weeks tops.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think we waited, what, six?
But really, really fast process, and that's phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. And that's, I think, the relationships that Linda's built over the years with all these platforms.
And that's why
is worth it.
It is worth it. Yeah, absolutely.
It is. I think with Film Hub, it can be anywhere from 2 to 12 weeks after your film is selected to hit the platform. And then it could be another couple weeks before it even is delivered. And then it's up to the streaming platform then to upload it live.
Well, the thing that sets Linda apart is she's worked hard to earn that reputation
That's
with
right.
people where she could go, where they know that what she gives them is going to be a certain thing that they could rely on, depend on. Oh, I'm going to get a good movie from Linda. So that's always, and that's important, and it matters, and it means something because if you could just follow all of her specific things that she wants to have you to have with your movie, you know, if you can get them, you're doing good. So that means you have a good movie regardless. It just does. She can't mess around with bad movies anymore.
No, she can't. They're going to be big. I'm going to tell you guys a story real quick about when I first reached out to Linda in 2018 with our little $2,000 movie. I sent it to her because
you keep devaluing this movie, but
$3,000.
$3,000.
She was on it.
Yeah, it's a black and white supernatural noir film that I wrote and I thought was going to be the next Matrix. Right, that's where my brain is as a filmmaker. Sent it to her. I pitched her the idea. I'm like, dude, this movie's badass. You just wait till you see this, Linda. And she watched the trailer and got back to me pretty quickly. And she goes, you know, yeah, I'll take the movie, but I'm going to tell you right now, black and white does not sell. And that's what she said to me. And my dick went from, you know, a few inches that it already is to even smaller. I think it went inverted. It shriveled up like a stack of dimes is what I'm saying. But at the same time, I was super happy that she told me that because it brought perspective to my head, if that made sense, where I'm like, oh, they don't fuck around when you start getting your movies out here. They really will tell you straight up. And I appreciated that. So that's when we went to Film Hub because she actually recommended that. She's like, you know, you can always try Film Hub or I can take it. I'm just not going to lie to you about the type of money you're going to make.
Or spend the time to color it.
Right.
It was like, huh?
And it was beautiful. I had much respect for her and I still do to this day because of that. So that's what's cool. That's what's cool about them and the entire process. But as a filmmaker, you can't help but think of, well, except for Sam. We made Sam's movie.
Yes.
And I'm like, this movie's going to do fucking good. I already know it. And it already is. And Chuck, I'll tell you after the show. But she doesn't believe that. She has no idea. Where a lot of other filmmakers might be overinflated. And be
Aaron.
Like, yeah. This is it. What?
Overinflated.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, you know what I mean?
Overinflated.
So I guess where I'm going is when you guys made this movie, The Good Friend, Good Old Friends, you made your film. How did you feel about it? And then did you go in there realistically or did you go in with these high expectations? Like this is going to be like this big hit. Where were you guys at in your heads?
No. So yeah,
realistically, we didn't expect it so much because we have no well-known star in it, not a big budget, and just the story, and that's it.
We have three male characters. So Mark, who couldn't be with us today, unfortunately, he plays a third character, sort of the triumvirate of three guys. But we also have three girls who make appearances throughout the film.
Oh, okay.
So clearly, like, there's, you know, it's the narrative, it's four guys made by guys, but we at least recruited some women into the film.
Mm-hmm.
And they were excellent. I mean, they ranged from, like, basically novice actress to professional actress. Like, we had two professional actresses on.
Great.
And did a killer job. There's a strip scene. I know people.
Ooh,
like that.
Hey.
Oh,
was that the professional actress?
Boobie cell. Just saying.
We also mentioned a lot of classic movies from Jaws to Pulp Fiction, Full Metal Jacket, because that's these movies inspired us and switched on our creativity and. Mm-hmm. I thought it should be a kind of a homage of the American movies from the 80s, 90s, especially kind of Tarantino styles. It's a dirty movie, but it's about some kind of real life.
Okay, got it. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Sorry, I personally feel. Going into it, I had worked with Uli Lommel, the Boogeyman director, and, you know, I gathered as much that you can't go into the business expecting to get rich, basically. And so with this film, I thought, this is probably not going to make us famous or bring us wealth, but it's going to put us out there in the ether. We're going to be a part of this industry, the film industry, we call it. And it's like a lottery. Like, you might just, you know, catch, what is it, fire in a pan? Or
I think that's the same.
Yeah, but you're taking a big risk, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because this industry is dog-eat-dog world. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's feast or famine, like Henrik says.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. You have to, it's hard. It's definitely hard.
Yeah,
we've seen good movies not do well.
Yeah,
and they were well produced, well directed.
There's so much more than just making a good movie. There's so much more to it. You know,
it's marketing matters.
Yeah, you got to put in that after the fact.
The distributor matters.
Mm-hmm. You got to market it. You got to get it out there. You got to let people know. You got to do all this other work.
There's so much to it. Yeah,
it's crazy hard.
It is crazy hard, but you want to prove yourself. So you did the best you could, and you did your thing, and you made your movie, and it's doing well so far, huh? So far, you have good results, and obviously because Indie Rights grabbed you, and they took you in, and so you're with them, so you're safe. You're good.
How are you guys? How long have you been on the platform?
Yeah, how long?
How well
been?
Are you doing?
I can't tell you nothing about numbers, but it's doing fine. We 1 year it's around about 1 year we are on Amazon Prime, on Tubi. Now we are half year on Roku, and Apple TV, Google Play is also
nice. A platform. There are a bunch of them.
And I think 1 month or even longer, we now on YouTube, so even you can watch the movie worldwide.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
on
cool.
the Indie Rights channel.
Yeah,
nice.
It's beautiful.
Also,
go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I just want to throw in a little bit of Google Ads. So I threw, you know, a little bit of money at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
did it help?
And you should go with Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
The click through rate was pretty high.
Good.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
That's really good info for people out there that are trying to distribute their movie. And yeah, that's
really
good.
Market the shit yourself. You got to figure it out.
That's good to know. Yes. Thank you for that.
You just have to make a bomb trailer.
Yeah.
You have to grab somebody with the trailer without maybe revealing too much because trailers spoil films.
So don't let Pete do the trailer.
He spoiled
three quarters of the movie 5 minutes into the conversation.
I still want to watch it though.
I do.
I love that you guys didn't have big heads going into this. See, no, and I always feel like you need to have it, like, to believe in your shit, you know. But I love hearing you guys went in there realistically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fucking good. I mean, you're like, yeah, I mean, it's an indie movie, it's a micro budget film. You know, we told the story, we're happy with it, and we're not expecting too much, but you know. We'll make another one day. I mean, that's fucking great.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And that's the mentality I think everybody needs to have. And well, deep down.
You deal with less disappointment that way. Because if it doesn't work out, I mean, you just expect the it might not.
And deep down, that's how I really feel. But I just don't like admitting it to people because I want to look cool. I want to just look cool. I know. Really, you know what I mean? It's pretty obvious when you make a $3,000 film. How about that? That it's probably not going to do as well as Matrix. But, yeah. You know, when the beginning, when you get excited about something you're working on and you really are proud of the work you did, and you're like, fuck, I've come a long way. This is way better than anything we've ever done. And I'm super stoked for this. And then you watch it later and you're like, yeah, it's still good. And then the next year you watch it again, and you're like, God, yeah, it's not as good as I thought. And then the next year you watch it again, you're like, fuck, I could do this so much better. And then you watch it again, and you're like, well, you know, we just started. Yeah, we just started then, and now we got ourselves out there. And then that's the process I went through with our first film. But I swear to God, when we first finished it, I thought that was it. And I'm not going to lie.
Silent Shadow.
No, I didn't. I was just so happy that we had a camera and a computer that could make a movie. I mean, I was just excited for that. But you know what I mean? It's just, it's kind of a weird process for everybody. Everybody kind of looks at it a tad differently. But I really love what you guys said, because I think if you start the way you guys start, you're not going to have that fucking, oh, fuck, I didn't do good as I thought I did. You know, well, you're not going to get kicked in the nuts by your own self, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and it's something to be said about everything that with the stories to be told. And everybody out there, filmmakers, as you're getting ready to distribute and all these things, listen to what they just said.
Yeah.
They started over a year ago. They had Amazon, then they got Tubi. And as all the way up to a month ago when they got their next distributor. Or their next streaming platform. So, I mean, pay attention that it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
You're not going to hit Amazon and make $1 million.
No.
Because we hit Amazon and had a shit ton of views and didn't even make 1,000.
Really make, yeah.
Yeah,
we
yeah, didn't really make a lot.
Beginning of the pandemic, we were like, oh my God, I can't believe we're like at the top tier of top movies on Amazon.
The point of movie making is much, in an indie world, is the passion and to hang in there.
Yep.
Because it's not easy, and you do have to earn, you know, your way.
You too.
And you have to get better and grow and be willing to listen to other people and what they say and the things that they're able to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we've tried to do, is listen to the people that we look up to in the indie world and that have done well. And we try to kind of listen to them and what they have to say and follow their advice, because that's helped us. Ultimately, that's helped us.
Absolutely.
And I'm very proud of my indie movie that I put out there. It's a documentary, which are always hard.
Which is kicking ass.
And it is doing great. I'm actually proud of my start. Like my nine out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's no joke.
She's sitting at a 9.6 out of 10 on her.
Which on IMDb is... pretty
so far. Yeah,
I mean,
so far,
I'm waiting for you're the good. I'm waiting for it to hit me, but
again, and that's when you're gonna know it's really trending or a lot of people are watching it, because when you start getting that hate, then you're gonna know that it's hitting people that possibly you don't know or don't
or,
know you
or
and that's
people
the beautiful
are,
thing
or trolls are just
absolutely
giving it a star because they're mean.
Well, that means it's in their face, which means happened. That they found it really right, easy it which means down. It's in the algorithm somewhere, so that's all good stuff. So just be
it's
ready
it's
for that
it's in the matrix.
Yeah, but for being at a week, I've already got a sense of where it's at.
People are liking it, and that's a good feeling, right? And you guys experienced the same type of thing with yours, right? When people started watching it, that you got good feedback.
Yeah, for sure. And also, you know, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, always.
Because most people watching, like we all have this in common. We're filmmakers. We're kind of in the business, right? Mm-hmm. So we watch it, like you said, Aaron, earlier. You said like we watch films with different eyes, with a different approach.
Yes.
Like a study, like a course. And I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
What you were saying was great, and it was fantastic the way it is. Just if you finish there, because what you said is important, and you're right. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
That helps to have other filmmakers watching your film and. They can always give you some of the best advice, actually. Sometimes kind of,
you
might hurt a little. But if you listen to people that are giving you, so bad reviews always struggled with. But if you listen to people's bad reviews, if you can pick out the ones from the just, I'm just trying to be mean, or I didn't really watch the movie, I just want you to feel not good because I don't feel not good. Yeah. I mean, if you can pick those kind of bad bugs out of there and you listen to the bad reviews and just see what they say and you actually listen to them and think about it, sometimes they're really helpful. They really help you.
They can
help you because we learned a lot from those with the Outrider. I feel like, we kind of knew going into it that, it was a little long. Okay, yeah, it's black and white. Okay, yeah. You know, we knew our mistakes. But at the same time, people, when they said stuff, it really showed us how the public felt or how people watching it on the outside felt. And if we wouldn't have listened to that, we wouldn't have advanced to where we're at now.
Correct.
Which is further.
We know what we can get away with and what we can't.
Absolutely.
On this indie level.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so what can help sell?
Yeah.
You know, and that was our goal, is to make movies that make money too.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do.
That's what we all want to do.
I think when we're talking to Robert Lissardo, he talked about like trying to hit that 80% of people out there who are viewers of films. You know, how do you hit that mark? You know, do you sell yourself out and just go commercial and make what they want? Or do you stay artistic and still believe in that story? Or what he did, them they're talking about was, you make a couple of those and you make some money on it, and then you can make the movie you really want to make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's interesting. And I think with the mentality you guys have, that's it. I mean, you guys made a film off of real life experiences, made something you're proud of, and you put it out there and you got it out there, which is fucking amazing anyway, doing that, because a lot of people don't go that far. Especially in distribution, you know, putting it out there to actually see how it does in the marketplace. I mean, a lot of people make movies and just throw them up on YouTube. They're not even monetized. It doesn't matter, right?
Right.
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's their goal and that's what they're doing. But I mean, you guys are on YouTube now, but it's paid, and that's what's different, and that's what's cool. And that's one thing I wanted to talk about too. It's like, I hear a lot of filmmakers worried about what platform their movie's going to go on. And I'm kind of thinking in the back of my head, like, who gives a fuck? The more platforms you're on, the better. You don't know where people are going to watch your fucking movie, right?
Right.
You have no idea. I've heard of filmmakers being on iTunes, and they make a shit ton of money on iTunes. Don't make shit off anything else. Sometimes it's Tubi. Sometimes it's Prime. You never know where your audience is going to be viewing your film. So your best chance of making the most profit off anything you make is to be everywhere.
Yeah, be on as many.
That's how I look at it.
And it doesn't matter if the movie's free or you have to pay for it. I mean,
either way.
It's both going to benefit you.
Yeah.
And it's, So just being on as many as possible. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I heard another filmmaker say, you know, even if I go through distributor or Film Hub or Indie Rights, I don't want to be on YouTube. Well, if you're going through a distributor and you're getting on YouTube, people are going to be renting or buying it on YouTube, or they're going to have that premium subscription. Yeah,
I literally don't understand that.
Yeah. Well, okay, so YouTube has a premium section, Sam. You pay for it.
I know, I pay for it.
Yeah. Remember, I wanted to watch Cobra Kai when it first came out, and you had the premium, and I couldn't watch it because I have to watch ads? Yeah.
Right.
Well, these guys go through Indie Rights. No, nothing. But they go through Indie Rights to get their film on YouTube. You know, now it's under their premium category.
Yeah.
So people have to rent or buy it. They just can't view it for free.
Yeah, but...
You can make... Then the filmmaker
then
makes
money.
Yes. Yeah. It's beautiful. See, and I know filmmakers who don't want to be on YouTube at all.
I think that's
dumb.
Yeah, that is.
Oh, excuse me. I don't think that's very educated.
Well, YouTube is the biggest. I mean, if you want to see a trailer, what do?
It's worldwide. YouTube's worldwide.
If you want to know how to do something, what do? Go to YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, Yeah.
Actually, I still go to Google before I go to YouTube.
I'm sorry, but Google but sends you straight to YouTube. Sends me to
YouTube. YouTube, exactly. What's Jay Horton doing right now? We know a filmmaker named Jay Horton. I don't know if you guys know about him. But he'll take older titles. Yeah, older titles that he's had that have been out for a while. Gets the rights back. And he throws them up on YouTube afterwards. And they start making money on YouTube after they've been out for like 10 years already. So he's still making money on movies he made like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Just because of YouTube.
Yeah. YouTube is hard.
Yeah, smart. One. Smart.
But it's smart.
It's smart. It's smart as fuck.
Yeah.
If you can be patient and you can wait and you can earn your people and earn your... Yeah. It's hard to get people to follow you on YouTube. I feel like it's harder than anything else. However...
It's a beast.
It's more beneficial. And when you can wait it out and be patient and get there, it's worth it.
Yep.
Totally worth it.
You need to have a game plan to get those subscribers and get those subs. And once you get monetized, you can start using that channel to benefit you financially.
Yes, you
absolutely can.
Yep.
Shit.
Great conversation with
Fuck,
you guys.
Guys
you guys
joking.
Gave us, I mean, wow, honestly,
thank you so much.
Yeah.
So awesome. So awesome.
So where can everybody find your movie right now, you guys? Where is it at?
Again.
Yes, please. Yeah. Please. One more time. Just more time. So everybody can hear it.
Well, Good Little Friends is on Tubi, on Roku, on YouTube worldwide for free. Then Amazon Prime, Google Play, Apple TV. Yeah, I think that's it.
That's great.
Yeah. Good luck. Awesome.
Good luck finding us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoy watching.
Good old
Enjoy
friends.
Watching.
Good old friends.
Good old friends.
And one last thing. Where are you guys? What's your next step? What are you gonna? Are you got anything in the hopper that you're working on and trying to get out next?
Well, I'm writing a new project, but that's. I'm not going to sell anything.
You got something in the works.
Next time.
That's dope. That's dope. See, Chuck,
it's for next time when we meet up.
I love it. I love
it. I'm actually going to start a channel pretty soon with somebody else, with Matthias Yuskel. And it's called Non-Censored.
Okay.
Spelled like nonsense, but then the rest like censored.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just chilling my channel that doesn't exist.
No, don't. What's the concept, though? What are you guys going to do on it? What are you thinking?
Some edgy skits.
Okay, cool, man.
Edgy skits.
Edgy skits.
Edgy skits.
I love it.
Edgy skits.
Love it, man. Love it.
Sounds weird when you say it like.
It's great. How do you say fuck you one more time in German? One more time?
Bro. Bro, you don't remember?
Wick dich. Is that it? Okay, I got it. I'm so happy. I'm gonna write it. I gotta write it down.
I was really
so I don't
hoping that you would have told him how to say "I love you," so he could walk around thinking he's badass, telling people fuck off in German.
I want to say I like the "fuck you." It's cool. I think Sam would.
Good luck with all of your projects, guys.
You guys
good
too,
so
man. No,
yeah,
absolute
you.
Pleasure meeting you guys, and please keep in touch with us. Let us know what's going on with what your work and what you're doing. Anytime you want to get in this show, man, we got you, man. You just get up on here and we'll help you pitch it and get it out there to more people. Absolutely. Okay.
Super cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Peace out, guys. Chuck, close
Thanks,
out
guys.
The show, my man.
Peter, Mike, thank you for joining us today on Around the Reel. Thank you for hanging out with us for a little bit and having a cup of coffee, or in your case, a nightcap, because I'm going to guess it's just about bedtime for you guys. But no, thank you for sharing the story of your movie. And Peter, thank you for being like me and oversharing. Usually I overshare about weird things, but you overshare the entire story. But that's okay. Mike cut you off at the right point and put you in your place and told you to shut up. But no, guys, it's been great getting to know you. I look forward to actually talking to you guys again and some more as you guys continue your next steps in the process of your careers and what you're doing.
Yes,
and
sir.
Don't worry. I won't call you an extra, Michael. I will just continue to call you, what the hell was that?
He doesn't identify that way.
Yeah, you don't identify that way. How do you identify? Here's how I identify. Can, willing, and able. That's all the ways I identify, so please, if you want something, hit me up. But no, while I finish this out and close this out in this show, I'm actually going to go ahead and plug us, because what the hell are you supposed to do? You're selling everything, so sell yourself, because God knows I'm available. Go ahead and hit us up at cccentertainmentgroup.com and come get our swag, get your merch, come get our... middle class filmmakers swag along with our Around the Reel swag and all that other fun stuff.
All kinds of
and
stuff.
And everybody out there, remember to think hard, because you're thinking anyway.
We'll see everybody later.
Bye. Sorry, I had to pee. For those of you that want to be a guest on Around the Reel, please email Sam
at aroundthereal253@gmail.com.
That's aroundthereal253@gmail.com.
Not Messenger. Do not message Aaron on Messenger, because then he has to send you a message that says email Sam at aroundthereal253@gmail.com.
That's aroundthereal253@gmail.com.
How come they can't just message me again?
Because nobody wants to fucking talk to you.
Can anybody reach out that's an artist, filmmaker, actor?
If you're an artist of any kind, we want to hear from you.
But we are going to vet the crap out of you.
We don't care if you make millions of dollars in Hollywood or if you're just beginning your career in the art industry. We don't care. So everybody that wants to be on Around the Reel, yes, we want you.
That's aroundthereal253@gmail.com.
This week's episode is brought to you by Entrepreneur Swag Shop. As business owners, it's important that we create the right environment and surround ourselves with the right people and the right things to keep you focused and motivated.
Entrepreneur Swag Shop offers clothing and accessories designed to empower entrepreneurs to share their message, their beliefs, and their journey with the world. Through inspiration and identity, the powerful messages printed on the items will help align you with who you want to be and what you want to achieve.
Whether you are new or experienced, male or female, young or old, you'll absolutely find a message that resonates with you. Visit EntrepreneurSwagShop.com and use code AROUNDTHEREAL during checkout to get 10% off your order today.
Get that swag, people.